This is Positive IQ. I'm Penny Ward, and this podcast explores how we stay steady, clear, and well in a world that keeps shifting and changing. Here we talk about the real experience of navigating change, the load it creates, the resilience it requires, and the capacity it drains. We look at what's happening in the brain, the body, and in everyday behavior, and what helps us to lead ourselves and others with more clarity, calm, and confidence. Each episode offers simple insights, practical tools, and grounded conversations to help you move through change without sacrificing your well-being. If you're navigating complexity, rebuilding your capacity, or rising to a new chapter, you are in the right place. In the first module, we named something important, that resilience doesn't disappear. It becomes harder to access when capacity is exceeded. For many women leaders, simply hearing that brings relief, because it shifts the question from what's wrong with me to what has my system been asked to carry without enough restoration. But relief is not the end of the work. The question that naturally follows is this: if my resilience hasn't gone, where has my capacity been shaped, strained, or quietly depleted over time? This session is about answering that question, not by fixing anything, not by changing anything yet, but by understanding the terrain you've been moving through, often for years without even stopping to look. This is where orientation begins. Many women arrive at this point not because of a dramatic breakdown or burnout. They arrive because of something quieter. They say things like, "I don't feel like myself anymore. I'm still capable, but something feels off. I can function, but it costs me more than it used to." This experience is not failure. It's often the experience of unbecoming, not collapsing, not falling apart, but gradually drifting away from the conditions that once supported you. Becoming rested and resilient does not start with action. It starts with seeing clearly. This is where the rest landscape becomes essential. And the rest landscape is a way of understanding how your relationship with rest has been shaped over time. Because rest is not just a personal habit. It's something that is learned, conditioned, influenced, constrained, and reinforced across your life. Rest is multifaceted, and it plays a significant role in how resilience is experienced or eroded over time. When you understand your rest landscape, you begin to see what genuinely brings you to rest, what supports your capacity to recover and replenish, and what quietly interferes with rest, even when you intend to prioritize it. From this place of understanding, something important shifts. You stop treating rest as a technique, and you start seeing it as a relationship and something essential for leadership. So this session is not about doing rest better. It's about getting curious. Curious about your patterns, your preferences, your barriers, and your enablers of rest. Because resilience weakens not because we don't care. It weakens because many of the forces shaping rest remain invisible. Once they are seen, they lose their power, and we can start to shape and shift in a way that works for us. So to support this exploration, we're going to use a self-coaching process called clustering. Now, clustering is a visual reflection exercise, and it's incredibly powerful. It helps you to organize complex experiences without forcing structure. It helps you to see connections between the past, present. It helps you to notice patterns more easily. And it also helps you to engage insight without overanalyzing. Now, this is not about neatness or logic. It's about seeing what has been shaping you. So if you're able to, pause the audio at points during this session and give yourself some time. There's no rush. So let's start with step one. Make sure that you've got pen, paper, even some colored markers can be helpful. What I'd like you to do is mark in the center of a blank page, draw a large circle in the center and label it rest. This represents your relationship with rest as it is now. Now around this circle, create smaller circles, each representing an influence that has shaped how rest shows up in your life. Now, this could begin with early messages. Reflect on what you were taught about rest, perhaps during childhood or as adolescence or even adulthood. Whether rest was something to be earned, whether it was seen as indulgent, lazy, or unnecessary. Now, importantly, you might start to consider the messages from your mother line, messages from your father line. Who was allowed to rest and who wasn't? These can be really powerful to understand the habits that have been passed through and that are affecting and shaping the way that you rest and the way that you move around your rest landscape. Create one or more circles for these influences and connect them to the center circle marked rest. Free write the messages you absorbed, explicitly or implicitly. Now reflect on the home you grew up in. Ask yourself, was it calm or was it chaotic? Was it predictable or demanding? Was rest encouraged or disrupted? Notice how these early dynamics may still influence you. Then shift to your current environment. Consider this: who you live with, what responsibilities that you hold, whether your space, your living space, supports rest or fragments it, or it's just chaotic. And it's things like how noise, privacy, layout, and expectation of others affect your ability to settle. Create circles for these influences. And again, free write what you notice. Not just what you think, but what you feel. Now let's look about some of the key moments or phases that shaped your rest patterns. These might include periods of intense work or employment. It could be caregiving roles, illness or recovery, major change or transitions, major losses. Create circles for these events. Start to notice how they altered your access to rest at the time or even after. And also, importantly, what you learned about pushing, pausing, or coping. Now let's reflect on relationships, past relationships. Ask yourself, did you feel safe to slow down? Was rest respected or disrupted? Were you expected to be emotionally available at all times? Start to add these influences to your clusters. Now, let's talk about cultural or ancestral influences. Rest does not exist outside culture. This can be really, really important. So reflect on cultural values around work and productivity. Also, ancestral narratives about endurance or being selfless or sacrifice. And also, unspoken rules about who is allowed to rest and when. Create circles for these influences as well. And free right away. Now let's look into your work history and start to consider the cultures that you've worked within, the expectations around availability and performance, whether rest and downtime was something that was supported, tolerated, or even quietly discouraged, or could be openly as well. Notice how these environments shaped your relationship with rest. Add any reflections to your clusters or create new ones. Now, finally, identify moments when you felt truly rested. These moments matter. Reflect on where you were, what you were doing, who you were with or not with. What conditions made rest possible? Create a circle for these memories. Free write. These moments contain important information and data. Okay, so when you're done with that, step back and look at what you've created. Start to connect the circles. Start to identify patterns, recurring themes. You'll notice contradictions, sources of depletion, sources of restoration. This is your rest landscape. It's layered, it's personal, and it makes sense. And from this place of understanding, you're far better positioned to plan practical, meaningful and aligned ways to strengthen the rest resilience connection in your life. So you may like to take some time to integrate the activity that you've just done, to have a think about it, to add more to it. But if you're ready, let's move to the next part. And this is about identifying and understanding your rest story. So this is not about evaluating yourself. It's about listening. Listening to the following questions and thinking and integrating. I'll guide you through. I've got 5 questions. So, looking at your rest landscape, how would you describe your relationship with rest? You might consider, does rest feel safe or does it feel fragile? Is it something that you trust, postpone or negotiate? Does it feel conditional or something that is protected? Notice the tone of the story when you tell yourself about your rest story. Okay, 2nd question. What patterns or themes stand out across your clusters? Look for repeated messages, familiar barriers, similar conditions across different life stages. Ask yourself, where did these patterns support me? And where do they now limit me? Okay, 3rd question. How have these patterns shaped my current experience of rest? Reflect on how easily you allow yourself to rest, how fully you can settle when you do, and what are the things that interrupt or override rest. Notice familiarity, not fault. So I'll pause there. So is there a rest story starting to emerge? And you might start to notice narratives such as a rest when everything else is done. A rest if I've been useful. Or rest is easily disrupted. Or you might even have a narrative that says, I am a well-rested woman. Whatever it is, name the story gently and be non-judgmental. Okay, two more questions for you. What is the most significant barriers to rest right now, if there are any? And be specific. These barriers may be external demands. They could be from life or work. They could be your own internal expectations. Could be environmental constraints, your living arrangements, perhaps. Another barrier could be relational dynamics. Naming them clearly reduces their power and also creates a pathway for change, doing something about it. Start to have a look also what elements support rest and resilience, the environments that help you settle, activities that genuinely restore you, relationships that allow you to soften. These are the strengths. These are the things that we want to expand on, broaden, build. Okay, final question. Looking at your rest landscape, integrating your rest story, ask yourself, what might need to change gently for rest to become more available? Rather than fixing or completely transforming and changing in dramatic fashion, consider what could be protected, what could be softened, what could be redesigned, and what could be gently let go of. These small shifts matter. Take a deep breath in. Breathing out. As you come to the end of this session, pause again. Realize you've just done something important. You've moved from judgment to understanding. From assumption to insight. From what's wrong with me to this makes sense. It's clarity. This is the bridge between unbecoming and becoming. Nothing needs to be implemented immediately. In the next module, we move from seeing to living, from understanding your rest landscape and your rest story to learning how leadership can be embodied again through regulation, through clarity, and sustainable action. For now, this understanding settle. Your rest landscape has already begun to guide you. And in closing, if at any point this felt emotional or confronting, that's okay. Seeing clearly is often the first act of restoration. You're not behind. You're reorienting. And that is exactly where becoming begins. Thank you for joining me on Positive IQ. I hope today's conversation offered you a moment of insight, a shift in intention, or something that supports the impact you want to make in leadership and in life. If this resonated, please subscribe, share it, or leave a review so more women and leaders can find these conversations. You'll find more tools and reflections at positiveiq.com or on Substack. Until next time, stay steady, stay curious, and honor your capacity.